Today, as we come to the table,
all the other colors that make up everything surrounding the Lord, just think of how beautiful and active the throne of God is. All the colors, all the sounds, all the excitement, but everything focused on Jesus. Now, by the way, that's why I don't have a problem with a lot of excitement around worship. It doesn't bother me for worship to be exciting. It doesn't bother me to have different colored lights. It doesn't bother me to have all this. This is really what is going on in heaven all the time. But note this, the problem mankind gets into is when mankind starts looking at all the colors or the worship team. That's where we mess up. If all that can happen and Jesus is on the throne, you've got a fantastic worship set.
Worship should completely revolve around the one we're worshiping. Many of us get distracted by the superficial elements of it. If the songs are old and boring, we can't worship. Or maybe if the songs are too loud, it's obnoxious and we can't worship. Whether it's your style of music or if the lights and visuals fit your taste shouldn't matter. You're welcome to have preference, but ultimately, if the focus is glorifying Jesus, it's worship. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will encourage us to shift our focus away from those temporary things and train our hearts to focus on Jesus, bringing Him glory through whatever gifts He's given us. Now, let's join Pastor Mark as he begins his message, the throne room of God in Revelation chapter 4.
Now, we're going to get to Revelation chapter 4, as I said, the throne room of God. But I want to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because remember what was happening is the church was under great persecution. And because of the great persecution, Paul was reminding them of the great hope that lie ahead. And when we're under great pressure of any kind, great hope ahead is always something to look to. And so this was great. And remember, not only the persecution, but also there were rumors that were being scattered throughout the region there in Thessalonica that those who had died had gone on, they'd missed the rapture. They weren't going to be there with everyone else in the kingdom of God. Lots of false teaching and rumors going on. So Paul writes to them, speaking of the rapture before the great tribulation, and he says this starting in verse 13. He says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." That is, those that are dead, they're with the Lord, and God will bring them back with them. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." That is, we'll get our bodies right after they do, it would appear from the passage. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout." Now, these are the things I want you to remember to carry into chapter 4. The Lord himself, number one, will descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of an archangel, number two, and number three, with the trumpet of God. So this voice that's like a trumpet or with a trumpet, and the Lord being there with a shout. Keep those in your mind. "And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And is that not a comforting thing? How many of us need comfort this morning? We will meet the Lord in the air and we will forever be with the Lord. And I believe it's very near. So rejoice in that. Now you can turn to Revelation chapter 4. I wanted to point out the rapture, and I wanted to point out those three specifics in the rapture, because I believe when we get here to chapter 4, we're going to be looking at the rapture that takes place leading into the vision of the throne room of God. Now, some points to make. First of all, we now come in chapter 4 to the third division of the book of Revelation. Remember, it was divided up into three things. The one who is, who was, and is to come. And so the one who is, he revealed himself in chapter 1. That was the first division the Holy Spirit gave us. And then in chapter 2 and 3, we see the church age, if you will. He talked about what is happening currently with the church, but it was also looking forward prophetically, as we talked about when we were in chapters 2 and 3. And then what is to come, which again is the future eternity that lies ahead. So chapters 1, chapters 2 and 3, the second division, and now the last division, chapter 4 on through the rest of the Bible, to the end of Revelation. Now, again, why do I believe this is the rapture of the church? A couple of things I want to mention, and then we'll get into the passage, which I think shows it even more clearly. It's interesting, when you look at chapters 1 through 3, the church is mentioned 19 times. For those of you who want to count. Starting in chapter 4, the church is never mentioned again in the book of Revelation until we see the second coming. Why is that? Because the church is removed and taken out. That's why they're not here. Also, in addition to that, you'll find chapters 1 through 3 speak of Jesus the Messiah in Gentile terms. Starting in chapter 4 to the end of Revelation, it's all Jewish Messiah terminology until the second coming. So we see God dealing with the church, removing his bride, the church, then God fulfilling his promise to the nation of Israel and their Messiah for the last 7 years before the Lord comes back at the second coming, and God speaking to them specifically of that. Now, again, more than that, it really reveals itself even in the passage here, I think, in relation to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And that's where we jump into the passage today. Look at what it says. Notice this. After these things. Now, that's an interesting phrase in the Greek language. It's literally meta tauta. And that's not to impress you, but that is to let you know that there's a phrase used here at the beginning of verse 4 and at the end of verse 4. Both. It starts with meta tauta. It ends with meta tauta. And what meta tauta means in the language is something has just finished and something brand new is now beginning. So again, we see this separation here where the church is gone, and now God begins to pour out his spirit on the nation of Israel, something new beginning to happen. And John, I believe, is going to see literally himself raptured, if you will, in this vision that he has, and then he'll see himself in heaven. So what's exciting about this, there's a number of things exciting, but what John is going to be seeing is exactly what you and I are going to be seeing very soon. So John is describing, you ever had somebody get on a ride? And if you're like me, you're a little bit afraid of certain rides. I admit that. Certain rides, they just scare me. They don't as much anymore, but you would think by now they shouldn't do that, but they do. And because I guess if I'm not able to control it, that's what freaks me out. I don't mind speed and I don't mind spinning. All that's cool. Just let me be the one controlling the speed and the spin. I'm good, right? And so that's why I like to use the dryer. I can stop it whenever I want. And it's kind of like, anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But the bottom line is that what John is seeing here, listen to this, as we describe it, this is what you're going to see. You're getting what's the rapture going to be like. So you can ask somebody, what was that ride like? What happened on that ride? Well, this, whatever. But it would be like being there and having like a, you know, the camera, and they're taking the camera through as it happens, and you're seeing it. You're going to watch this happen. You're going to see this very thing from the same vantage point that John sees it now, and so it makes it even more exciting. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Remember it said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord will descend from heaven. He'll be standing there. Jesus described himself as what? The door. He said, I am the door. No one goes to the Father except by me. And now we see the Lord there, standing there. The door has now been opened to heaven for the church, if you will. The door has been opened to heaven for the bride. And notice this, the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet. Now you're going to see him use throughout the rest of Revelation the word like a lot. And the reason being is there's no way to describe it in earthly terms. He can't say, here's exactly what it was. No, it's like this because heaven is much greater than anything we have down here. This is a shadow. And so he's going to say like a lot. It's kind of like a teenager. Like, so, but this is not. This is John grown up. But it was like a trumpet speaking with me saying, come up here and I'll show you the things that must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit. The Bible says the Lord will descend with the shadow of an archangel and in the twinkling of an eye, immediately we'll rise to meet the Lord in the air. I think that's exactly what you're seeing here in the first verse and second verse of chapter 4. Now, what makes this even more interesting and exciting is, notice he said, I heard a voice like a trumpet. Now, it says a voice in 1 Thessalonians and uses the word trumpet here. It's almost like you get a fuller picture. And by the way, the Bible does that. The Bible doesn't give all the details in any one place. It gives part of it, and then it gives a fulfillment of it later on, or a better, broader picture. So now we see it's going to be a voice, but also the sound of a trumpet. What's this talking about? This is where it gets really cool and exciting. And I want you to be able, in your mind, to envision the throne room of God. Now, my mind works that way. You know, and many of us have, you can envision things more than others, but my mind works in vision type things, not like heavenly visions and all that kind of, not spiritual, but just able to picture it in my mind. And I want to be able to build that picture for you, because it's, when you get there, you're going to, again, it's going to make you excited about getting there. But this is what's really cool about this. The Bible tells us back in the Old Testament, when it describes Satan, it says that Satan's very body has pipes. It speaks almost as of an instrument type piping, sound, if you will. His very body is an instrument. And I think that's the reason there's so much oftentimes demonic influence in music in the world. There's great music, but there's also great demonic influence in music. Why? I believe that's kind of Satan's playground in many ways. But his very body, in other words, I want you to get this picture. If Satan had pipes and timbrels or whatever in his body, the Bible doesn't specifically tell us, but the indication here, it might be that other angels have this as well. The ones surrounding the throne may very well be, their bodies are instruments, even as their voices are instruments. And when John hears this, he hears the angel sounding that it's time, that the Lord has come, and it speaks, but his very body is shouting like the sound of a trumpet coming through the angelic pipes, if you will. So you have the voice and the trumpet at the same time. And John says, it's like a trumpet. Now, if this is really what's going on, maybe it's just a trumpet, maybe it's a separate angel. But if it is something the same way that Satan was designed, that God has on the angels around the throne, imagine the praise around the throne as they're singing and this pipe organ, but something that's going to even be greater than that, because someone's saying, I don't really like pipe organs, whatever. There's going to be this worship literally coming off of angelic bodies, possibly, with their voices. And it's just going to be like, wow. You talk about surround sound. That's a guy thing. Sorry, ladies. You know? Amazing. And he says, I heard this voice like a trumpet. And he said he would show me things that would take place after this, immediately in the spirit. And so there he is now. Now we're going to see a picture of the throne room. He says, and I behold a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. I know I spoke about this last week, but I want to remind us again, because the Holy Spirit did right here in chapter 4. Jesus is on the throne. Right now, he's seated, and right now, he's in control of everything. We see all the crazy things happening here in America. We see the crazy things happening around the world. It's not just our nation. The whole world is in turmoil, and the Lord is seated in glory, in power, with angels singing and their pipes very possibly chiming in, so to speak, you know, thundering the heavens, and we're going to see in a minute the saints there as well. What a glorious scene that he's seated on his throne, that he's in control. And he who sat there was like jasper and sardis stone in appearance. Again, jasper, when it describes this in a moment, it talks about, well, let me read it. And there was a rainbow around the throne, and the appearance was like an emerald. Now, again, as it describes the throne in other places, it gives a picture of kind of more of a diamond-type look. So it may be a different type of jasper, but I was told after the first service that jasper and sardis are, with those two colors, you can pretty much make every other color that you have. And now we see these beautiful colors surrounding the Lord, not only jasper and sardius stone, but notice this, a rainbow around the throne in the appearance like an emerald. Now, no doubt all the other colors are there too, but imagine this beautiful emerald color emanating from the throne of God with the angels singing and all this going on. We're going to add to it. This is going to build. It's like one of those flannel graphs, all right? We're going to keep throwing it on there. Didn't you love those people? Well, when I was in elementary, they came. I guess I don't let them anymore. But the flannel graph, you know, kind of thing adding to it, and this whole beautiful thing as it comes together. So there the Lord is surrounded by a rainbow, a beautiful emerald rainbow. All the other colors that make up everything surrounding the Lord. Just think of how beautiful and active the throne of God is. All the colors, all the sounds, all the excitement, but everything focused on Jesus. Now, by the way, that's why I don't have a problem with a lot of excitement around worship. It doesn't bother me for worship to be exciting. It doesn't bother me to have different colored lights. It doesn't bother me to have all this. This is really what is going on in heaven all the time. But note this, the problem mankind gets into is when mankind starts looking at all the colors or the worship team. That's where we mess up. If all that can happen and Jesus is on the throne, you've got a fantastic worship set, because that's how it's supposed to be. He's the one being honored. He's the one being glorified. Now, I love this because, again, notice this rainbow around his throne. What was the very thing? And this was the very thing that God gave us to show us that he was true to his promises. Remember, after the earth flooded, he said, I'll never flood the earth again. And to show you that, I'm going to take a rainbow and put it in the sky. Little did we know, I'm going to take something from my very throne. I'm not saying he removed his throne rainbow, but something that he surrounds himself with as a constant reminder of his own promises and power. I'm going to put that in the heavenly so you can see that, to realize I will never flood the earth again. You don't have to worry about the oceans overtaking the earth. He promised it would never happen. And I think it's a good reminder for us in the day and age in which we live to realize God is on the throne over the earth and every way the earth operates. He's in control. We can relax. Quite honestly, I'm glad I don't have to keep the planet going. That's a little bit overwhelming for me. But I'm glad that he's going to, and he's promised that he will, and he sits enthroned over everything in the kingdom right now. He's very able to take care of this earth and very able to take care of everything by his power and his glory. And so it's surrounded again like an emerald. He says, around the throne were 24 thrones, And on the throne sat 24 elders clothed in white robes, and they had crowns and gold on their heads. Now, again, most people believe this is a representation of the church. This is a representation of believers. Some try to break it up between Old Testament believers and New Testament believers. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we know there's 24 elders there. And why do we believe it's the church? Because the Lord said that we would be seated on thrones with him. Now, certainly there's more than 24 of us. It's representative of the church there in heaven. But we'll be seated on thrones is the point. We'll be surrounding the throne. The angels will be surrounding the throne. Hordes and hordes of people surrounding the throne, giving praise and worship to God. Get a picture now of the throne room. Pretty exciting, huh? A lot of activity going on. You're going to see all this. You're going to be there. You're going to be a part of it. Now, notice this as well. It says, again, another reason I believe this is the church is the Lord told us in chapter 1 that he said that we will be made into kings and priests, and we are kings and priests unto God. So we'll be seated on thrones as kings, but the priestly system in the Jewish system was they had 24 groupings of priests. 24 groupings, and now we see 24 elders. The picture is the kings that we are in heaven and the 24 priests. We're kings and priests, the divisions, if you will, of the priests in heaven, made up of the church around the throne. And notice, clothed in white robes, that is, we're forgiven, we're cleansed by Jesus. Why do I need that all the time? I need to be completely clothed by the Lord on a regular basis and washed in his blood. And notice they had crowns of gold on their heads. Now again, where are the crowns of gold from? The Bible says that they come from our serving the Lord. Now, not a works thing, okay? But being about the Father's business. And this is where, again, I make an appeal every time that we come to something like this. We don't have any specific needs at Calvary, so that's not why I'm saying this. But be about your Father's business. You want crowns. You want things you can throw at the feet of the Lord. You know, it's interesting. When you go and meet a king or somebody in authority and power, if you don't have much to give, it would be a very intimidating thing, I would think. Most people, when they travel to see a king, they bring some gift, right? And you can imagine showing up and here you are, a great king, and here's some lip balm. That's all I have, but I'm going to give you some lip balm. It's like, you know, that's very nice. Thank you for the lip balm. You know, kind of an interesting gift, but thank you, you know, whatever. How much better to say, I bring to you a precious gift that was given to me. And now I want to give it to you. As you serve the Lord, you're storing up precious gifts. And what it's saying is, when we're there with the Lord and all this is going on, we're going to be able to cast our crowns. We don't want to throw like some little, you know, plastic lollipop ring and have it sliding across the crystal sea. Lord, I just didn't have time to serve you, but I'm glad to be here. Look, I'll be glad to be there too. I'm just shocked I'm going to get in. But how much better to have something to say, I took the life you gave me, I invested it in you, and you gave this to me. I didn't earn it. You gave it to me, but now I give it all back. You see how precious that will be? That's what we're going to get to do. I want you to be able to do that. And so we'll be casting crowns, golden crowns, At the feet of the Lord. And notice now it goes further describing the throne. You've got the scene in your mind. It says, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Remember the vision in Ezekiel chapter 1? It says he saw the throne of the Lord, Ezekiel did, and he saw lightnings and thunderings and voices coming from under the throne. And you had these cherubim all under there on all the corners, and the lightning going back and forth, and the thundering, and the chanting of holy, 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 and praising God, and all that's going on, this glorious scene that he's seeing. That's happening, all right? But at the same time, I do not believe that what we're about to see here is the same cherubim. And I'll get to that in a moment. But you see what's happening there. Then notice this. Also, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now in Revelation chapter 1, the first chapter, he described to us the seven spirits of God is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's what most believe that is, and that's what the indication is from his word. So the fullness of the Holy Spirit is before the throne, but it's literally going to be these flames. Now remember, the earthly tabernacle and temple was a picture of what's going on up in heaven. God said, Moses, make this the way I'm telling you, because it's to be a picture. And that can't really demonstrate what it's going to be like. But imagine, I doubt it will be a seven-branch menorah. It might be something massive that way. Maybe it is. Maybe it's individual flames that are going up. But you've got these beautiful, fiery flames around the throne. The angels with the pipes and all the sound, all the colors, all the rainbow. The believers there, the worship going on the throne, the crowns being cast at his feet. Just an amazing scene. It's hard for the mind to even imagine. And even begin to take it in. But these flames are burning there, and the fire and the glory and all that's going on before the throne. And it says in verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. Now again, it's not going to be liquid because we're going to cast our crowns on that glassy sea. And they're not going to sink. So it's going to be just this beautiful crystal glass look, see-through. Again, think of all the colors going through that. You think about the clearness of the stones and the brilliance of all the colors and the refraction as it goes through the stones, making different colors. Again, it tells us that the new Jerusalem is going to be clear walls. It's going to be made of gems, precious stones, and you'll be able to see through them. But it'll literally be a city. And the Bible says you will be shining like the stars of heaven. So that's what this means is when I'm standing outside of the New Jerusalem, I'm going to see this beautiful bright light going in the door. And there you're going to go, whoa, look, there goes Pastor Jason. Whoa, he looks really good in Jasper. Oh, look at that. He's going, and all the colors. And wow, look, here it goes. And people walking through the kingdom, we're going to see that it's going to be an eye feast in glory forever. It's more than we can imagine. There's never going to be a time, oh, yeah, I've seen that. Did you see what happened when Jason went through? Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, yeah. You ought to see Travis, you know. Whatever, the bottom line is we're never going to get tired of it. It's going to be glorious forever. It's going to be beautiful forever. And this sea of glass, I think of all the vibrancy of the colors and the refraction. We're casting the crowns, the sparkling gold, the pure gold of heaven. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures. Now, again, before I read this again, I don't believe that he's talking about the same cherubim we saw up in the earlier verses and talked about in Ezekiel. Are they there? Yes, they're there. The cherubim are around the throne, as the Bible says. But the cherubim each had four faces. And it'll be the same four faces we're about to read here, but each cherubim had those four faces. It would appear from this passage that these angels each only have one face, and so probably these are a different cast of angels. They were cherubim. The Bible speaks of seraphs or seraphim. That's plural. These very well may be seraphim surrounding the throne along with the cherubim surrounding the throne. But notice they have the same faces just individually. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures. This is kind of freaky, but I guarantee you it's not going to freak you out then. Full of eyes in front and in back. Sounds like my mom. Now, you talk about some of the creatures people come up with in the movies. This is nothing compared to what God comes up with. And it sounds freaky, like, I don't know that I want to, it's going to, oh, right? I promise you, it's going to be beautiful. However this is going to be done, it's going to be, oh my goodness. You know, look at the eyeshadow. No, I'm just kidding. I doubt there'll be eyeshadow. All those lashes. Anyway. But it's going to be something beautiful.
The New Testament letter of Revelation is a startling reminder that God's real and that he doesn't play around when it comes to people disobeying his commands, because he wants the very best for them. Ultimately, Revelation touches on Christ's return and what it means for those who are followers of Jesus. If you aren't familiar with this kind of faith and are wondering what it means to become a follower of Jesus, don't hesitate to ask us any questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. We'd be happy to talk with you and pray with you about anything that you've heard or having difficulty understanding. Revelation can be a confusing book to parse through, and we want to be here as a support for your questions and concerns. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come get to know us at Calvary Knoxville. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the Calvary Knoxville link to get service times and directions at the bottom of the homepage. If these teachings have been helpful for you, or you'd like to hear more from this series in Revelation, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. God will speak to you every time you read His Word. Pastor Mark has more to share about what God is telling us in the book of Revelation, so join us here next time as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.